Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To talk about everything that's going on in the NBA, I always like turning to our friend Sean Devaney, who covers the league for the Sporting News. You can follow him at Sean Devaney on Twitter, and it's good to have you on here, Sean. You might have heard the Warriors off to a nice start this year. Has that news reached the East Coast yet?
Well, they're coming here to Boston this week, so I was just looking them up, and it seems like they've been pretty good this year.
It really is ridiculous, the amount of accolades, the amount of statistics that you can use to describe how good the start is, how hot the start is, how long the streak is. It's amazing. In order for us to talk about other things than just bask in the Warriors, we've been playing 30 seconds of waxing poetic. You get 30 seconds to wax poetic about Steph, and then we'll talk about other things. So go ahead.
Probably the best thing there's something that Steph Curry does that I've never seen anybody be able to do is, with a limited amount of athleticism, create as much space as he can. When he does that step back jumper, I have never seen anybody be able to do that, to fire it up that quick. And of course, the accuracy is off the charts, but just his ability. You could just sit there and watch him all day. Just do that little step back jumper. Everybody knows it's coming, but nobody can defend it. To me, if I were to wax poetic about Steph, that's probably the thing that I would most like to wax on about.
I think he needs to be picked up at three quarters court, defended across the timeline, and then you almost have to double team him in a unique way, where you're not double-teaming him with both men at once, but you have somebody playing the shot that might come, and then somebody playing the dribble if the shot fake is all you get. I think you've got to stack double-team him almost to slow him down.
Yeah, and that's a great strategy because they've got nobody else who can score, right? I mean, that's the issue, right? I mean, you could go ahead and do that, but they'll just pick you apart with Clay, who's playing much better lately. You know, Harrison Barnes, Draymond. I mean, you could go right down the list. It's so hard to defend them. It's so hard to find an answer right now for the way that they're playing.
The Warriors are the only team in the NBA that can play one of their worst games on the season and still win by 16. I really thought that their legs that they spent in Toronto might have cost them in Brooklyn. That didn't happen. Again, they're coming up to Boston on Friday. They got a trip at Indiana, which I'm just circling, man. I think this game in Indiana could be a little more troublesome than any Warrior fan wants to admit, because you're looking at, you know, the best powers in sports right now, or certainly in the NBA. And I think, you know, if Curry's one of the best players in the NBA, Paul George is not far away.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten quite the level of attention. Of course, he's gotten quite a bit of attention because he made a position change that he wasn't necessarily fond of, sort of moving to that power forward spot. And that's the kind of move that I think Warrior fans would appreciate, because he's playing out of position. He's playing, as a small forward, a guy who came in as a shooting guard, now playing power forward. But that's the kind of change that the Warriors and their championship last year have sort of inspired around the league. You got to give Indiana a lot of credit for grasping that. I give Frank Vogel a ton of credit, because you think of what the Pacers have been the last few years, Damon. They've been, you know, this smash mouth team. They rebound. They don't do things very pretty, but they certainly go out there and they've been sort of this tough, hard nosed team. Now all of a sudden you're playing small. You're playing much higher tempo. I give Frank Vogel a ton of credit because he's been very versatile in terms of how he's coached his team. It's going to be an interesting matchup to watch. I think that this is one of the few teams that you could say matchup-wise, at least can hold its own with the Warriors. I don't know the talent-wise they can, but certainly in terms of the matchups, the Pacers are going to be an interesting matchup for them.
They will be. I agree. It's all about matchups. Don't look at the Pacers' record. Look at the matchups. Even Brooklyn. Don't look at Brooklyn's record. Look at the matchups. Brooklyn played them a little bit tough. Have twice now this year. Sean Devaney from the Sporting News joining us talking some NBA. And you live in Boston. I know we're looking ahead past this Pacers game to ask you about a Warriors-Celtics matchup. What is the matchup, if any, Boston and Brad Stevens might be able to exploit? I know that that's like trying to solve a Rubik's Cube in the dark.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, you've got Isaiah Thomas, and when he really gets going offensively, he's been able to carry them to some wins that maybe they shouldn't have had. He's really been a difference maker for them. And after never really finding a role in Sacramento, sort of in and out of the starting lineup and the rotation there. And then last year started off with a disaster in Phoenix. He's really played very, very well in Boston and has really become the focal point of that offense. The problem for them is I'm not sure what else they're able to get. I mean, they've got a rotation that's been very, very inconsistent aside from Isaiah Thomas. So, certainly stopping Isaiah Thomas is going to be job number one for the Warriors. And they've seen him plenty of times before, of course. But that'll be job one. And then, we'll be interested to see. David Lee has been a little bit of a disappointment with the Celtics.
No, really?
I know you're shocked, but he's been a disappointment. I think people expected a little bit more, at least on the offensive end from him. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of effort he puts out.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he's even out there right now, isn't he banged up?
Right.
Yeah. I think he's going to pick up his ring, right? Don't Celtics fans love seeing players get rings from other teams?
Yeah, that's something that that they've become big on is watching other players get rings because it hasn't happened quite enough at the Boston Garden, that's for sure.
Sean Devaney of the Sporting News here on 95.7 The Game. People keep on telling me the Cavaliers are much better than they were last year. I see their health is better. I don't know how much of a better team they are, though, with all this health. Am I being oversold or am I being overly critical?
Well, I think they still need to get on the same page. I do still see a team that's a little disjointed, I think, is still carrying some of the effects of the injuries. They didn't really have a training camp because everybody was injured. But, we are 20 games in, and I do think you need to start pulling it together. I mean, certainly by Christmas, I think you'd like to see them, playing like a team that is a legitimate contender. The thing, too, Damon, is they know – look, they can kind of lay back. They don't have to, go too hard at this point. The East is just not that good. I of course they'd like to play better, but I think until they get everybody healthy, until they sort of, get over this hump of the first couple of months, I just don't think they're going to take things too seriously. I think they're comfortable with where they are, and you'll see them kick it into gear, sometime just after Christmas.
See, this is why I just love this Warriors team, because there is no switch that they'll decide to flip later. They flipped it now. They're on it now.
Yeah.
And there is no off position that they're comfortable with. It is very impressive. I'd like to wrap up with the news of the day. By the way, the Sixers now have more losses this season than the Warriors have had since hiring Steve Kerr, which is unbelievable. The Sixers have 21 losses on the year. Steve Kerr and the Warriors are 105-20 over their last 125 games. That's pretty amazing right there. Jerry Colangelo, head of USA Basketball, brought in to tell somebody you need to stop drafting front court players when you have no guards, or is it more complicated than that?
Yeah, I think there is sort of, I would think of it as sort of when the Warriors brought on Jerry West, that they do want to get, somewhat of a more veteran voice, somewhat of a more you know, a different perspective, because obviously Sam Hinkie has sort of taken that team and is doing this this experiment almost in terms of drafting all these young guys and not drafting any point guards and trying to create point guards out of you know, out of clay almost, and you know, it's obviously not working, and I think there's a real risk of permanently turning off a lot of fans. So I think that this is a move to A, try to win back some credibility, and B, you know, start to say, okay, look, we've done what we're going to do in terms of collecting draft picks. We'll probably have one more bad year here, but we're going to try to turn around after that. I think that's where this is going. You know, from what I've, the way I understand it, I think that that's what the plan here is. Yeah, they still have, you know, another 4 or 5 months of really bad basketball ahead of them, and that's you know, Colangelo can't change that. It's too late for that now. So the hope is that after this, though, that they can start to turn that corner.
Okay, so the most annoying trend in the NBA right now are hometown PA announcers trying to out-introduce Kobe Bryant. There's a competition who can do the longest visiting player introduction for starting lineups. What will Kobe's introduction be final game in Boston, and will he get some love?
You know, I think he'll get love from the fans. I think he'll get love. There might be some sort of video sort of thing. I think there'll be some love. I mean, when Kareem, I remember back when Kareem retired, it was strange to see, but Celtics fans actually poured out some well-deserved respect for him. I would expect you'll see much the same for Kobe. But the one thing the Celtics will do, I think, is they'll probably hold back, and they'll let the fans. I think that they have a certain amount of faith that their fans are going to handle it well, and they're not going to require that that the fans need to be alerted that this is Kobe Bryant's final game. I think I think there'll be some restraint in terms of the official acknowledgement of it, but you'll see a long acknowledgement of it from the Celtics fans.
Yeah, it's funny. A buddy of mine who grew up a huge Celtics fan said, "It's not that they were cheering for Kareem's final appearance. It's just they refused to boo when Bird's on the court, and he was out there for that." Sean, thanks very much, man. If I don't talk to you before the end of this, happy holidays.
Thank you, David.
Sean Devaney, Sporting News. Always good to talk a little ball with him.